Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the One Pres Pod. It's me, Phil Blackburn, and with me today is...
Sarah Meings.
Yeah. So our last podcast, we got to know Maria Martinez, who is our emotional wellness coordinator. Sarah, we're going to get to know you today, but that is not your job. What is your job around these parts?
I am the director of communications here at First Presbyterian. Just started in May, beginning of May, and I'm really enjoying my time so far.
Excellent. We paid her, by the way, to say that she was enjoying her time. So well done. You've earned another check. Rebecca Martin had been our communications director for 9 years, so you're stepping into those shoes. But it might be nice for the congregation to get to know you a little bit. They'll see you some around the church. So tell us the Sarah story.
The Sarah story. Well, I grew up here in Fort Smith. I'm very proud to be from Fort Smith. Did gymnastics my whole life. Was a cheerleader at Southside High School. Graduated from there and went on to get my public relations degree at University of Central Arkansas. So a little bit about me. I love the Hogs. Go Razorbacks.
Are you married? Do you have children?
Yes, I am married. I have children. I have two beautiful babies. One is Miriam. She's 3. And I have little Judah, who's 1, and we have 1 on the way. I know we're crazy.
Yeah.
We're pretty wild.
Moving to zone defense, you are.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we're ready, but come October, we better be.
That's right. You better be. And who is this we you speak of?
Oh, yes. I am married to my husband, Michael. Very fun, free-spirited person, which encourages me to be the same. So if you ever get to interact with us, hopefully we're just fun people you can talk to.
All right, so we've established you have children, you're fun people that we can talk to.
Yes.
This is great.
It is.
It's going well so far.
So far.
Yeah. So what have you learned? Because, you know, you'd never really been to First Presbyterian before you started here. So what would have been your kind of early takeaways of the church? Because a lot of us have been here a long time.
Yeah.
I have been here since 2012. What grade were you in 2012?
I was graduating from high school.
Okay, that's great. So you weren't ready for this job at that time.
No, definitely not.
But anyway, so give us first impressions kind of the congregation and what you think. What have you noticed?
Yeah, so my first impressions is that it's a rich in tradition, a congregation who has been around. And something that really shocked me about First Presbyterian is the generosity of this church. That you guys were downtown. We're proud to be from, you know, in the downtown area. And just how much First Presbyterian is giving back to the community is something that I think I didn't expect when I first started working here. So that's been a really cool thing to see about this church, the Presbyterian Church. The people have been really welcoming. They have been here, so I understand that there's certain ways of doing things and what they're kind of used to, but they've welcomed me and very hospitable place to be.
So the hazing wasn't too bad.
I mean, I expected more.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
We're going to have to raise our game the next time we hire somebody.
I think so.
Really make it unpleasant for them.
Yeah, I think that's probably, that'll go along with the hospitality I was just talking about.
Yeah, well, it'll make that hospitality seem that much more welcoming and rich, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is so much better than how it started. That'll be great. So... Okay, yeah, and that's a good thing to notice because, you know, we try to really commit to the neighborhood, right, and to the broader community. And so it's nice that that was one of the first things that you were like, oh, wow, this is happening right here and this is going on. I think it's important for congregations and for churches to get involved outside their doors. So you and I were talking about this today, as a matter of fact, because we were talking about the offering in worship, right? And we were talking about whether or not, it was an interesting conversation, whether or not to pass the plates, because we don't anymore. So what did you say, though, about passing the offering plates?
Yeah, passing the offering plates, I feel like it is a tradition that churches do all the time that can possibly make someone feel guilty or uncomfortable when that plate gets to them. But what I've learned is that it's a time of reflection, maybe. Maybe I don't feel comfortable giving in that very moment, at that very moment, to be generous. But it's a reflection of how can I be generous in my life? Where are the areas that I can give, and how much should I be giving? Should I be giving? Like, just all the reflection questions. Because, you know, we are called to have a generous heart and to give generously. And what would that look like for us? Because it's going to look like it's going to look different for other people.
Yeah. And it's that it was interesting to me to hear your perspective on it. And this is one of the things I value about having you on staff, because you are a generation younger than I am, is, you know, we make a lot of assumptions about what works for people and what doesn't work for people, and how people who are younger might experience a church that's been around 177-ish years. So having those types of conversations is helpful to me, and I'm glad to have you around to have those. I did not anticipate today talking about passing the offering plates, but it was an interesting comment, an interesting idea that it can be helpful. There aren't a lot of places to reflect on money. There's plenty of places to spend money. But to reflect on our values around money, if we have any values at all, there's just not a lot of space for that.
Yeah.
It was something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, there's like a healthy guilt, or a healthy uncomfortableness that I think sometimes we're afraid to put people in when they need to be put in that place sometimes, so that they can feel certain things that they may need to feel and to think about. And and yeah, I totally understand the sentiment of not passing, but there might be a time where
that could be a thing. Using that word discomfort, because I think that's helpful. You know, I always want to stay away from like guilt and shame. Right. I always feel like that's not my, but making people uncomfortable is actually part of my job. And I'm very good at it. I make lots of people uncomfortable lots of the time. but I mean it intentionally. So that idea of having moments in worship where we're made to feel uncomfortable is kind of an interesting thought. It's an interesting idea. And yeah, I mean, how do you think, can you think of a time, because you've been in church a while, can you think of a time when you were made helpfully uncomfortable?
Helpfully uncomfortable. I mean, I feel like there's been a few times in church. I think churches seem to shy away from the hard topics because people want to come to church sometimes and hear a bubbly message or a more optimistic message. But I think the times that I've been challenged are times where it's caused me to reflect on my own shortcomings, maybe sinful behavior that people don't really like to talk about, that word, like all the Bible words. But it's been good, because if I don't reflect on where I'm falling short, and I'm just reflecting on all the good that I'm doing or just feeling good, then I don't know how to maybe pull myself from a dark place or stop some of these destructive behaviors on my own. So sometimes just revealing that or causing, and when I discover it myself, that's more of a experience that I'm more likely to fix it, you know, when it's a self-discovery instead of someone pointing it out, you know?
Right, you tend to get less defensive when yourself is accusing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than somebody externally being like, Phil, why don't you do better? Right. Well, I'm trying.
I know.
But internally, Phil, why don't you do better? Okay, you're right. We probably need to do better. So, yeah, setting up those kind of conversations, that's interesting. That's it's a helpful thing to do. And it's a hard balance to strike. You know, now in modern America, when someone has been outside of the church and they come in, or you enter into a conversation with somebody about church, I probably impose this in some ways, but I always feel like I'm bringing a tremendous amount of baggage with me related to guilt, shame, judgment, fire and brimstone, even antagonism, hostility. Like, I feel like it causes people sometimes to put walls up. So trying to find ways, because the alternative to that is to just be like, everything's fine. You don't need to change anything. None of us need to change anything. We're great just as we are. But that's not really what the gospel says either.
Right.
So trying to find that pathway to create those conversations. Yeah. It's hard.
No, it is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave it at hard on that one.
Yeah.
It is. So anyway, okay. So we're thinking about church and stuff like that. So talk about, if you want to, let's get back to the position. What kind of what kind of goals? You've been here 6 weeks now. So what kind of goals do you have for your job as you go forward?
Yeah, I think a broad goal for me is, and if I had like a mission statement, I want to connect with people. Mm-hmm. I want to create that connection, whether that's from, you know, in the bulletins that I'm doing, social media engagement, podcast, whatever it may look like. I think I have a passion for people. Mm-hmm. I love people. And so that broad picture is going to look like me. How can I best connect with people, all types of people, and engage with them? And then, of course, we are launching our new website come August 1st.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. So if you guys are listening and you follow us on social media or our website, new website coming August 1st. But I think the big picture is to make as many connections with the people of Fort Smith and beyond as I possibly can.
Yeah, and even within the congregation, that's been something I've been surprised about as a pastor, was how hard it is sometimes to just connect the congregation with itself. You know, I see the whole thing, but like, right. You know, outside of some of our musicians, Tasha and I are the only ones who are in both services each week. There's a couple people who float in and out, but by and large, you know, even when you come to church, you're seeing a half or, you know, 40% of the congregation on a given Sunday. So, and then of course, how many of those do people know? Like even people who've been coming for a long time, we have a lot of new people, so don't know everyone. So even trying to connect people who are inside the building with each other is not easy.
Yeah, and even sometimes in the same worship service, people just come in and sit down, and we don't talk to people. And sometimes we're not feeling very social on a Sunday. I get it. I've been there. And it is complicated when there's two separate worship services because, I mean, sometimes people don't even see each other. I've been a part of a church like that, and I think maybe we can possibly plan some events, monthly events. We tend to do that for those outside of the church. Maybe we need to look into doing something for us here at First Presbyterian.
Yeah.
Monthly dinner gatherings or game nights or interact with one another.
Maybe some axe throwing.
We do have an axe throwing
place. There's an axe throwing place right across the street practically.
Maybe. Get out and ride our bikes.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I was waiting for a bicycling comment.
I was. I have to plug it.
Yeah.
Michael, my husband, he's the mobility coordinator here in Fort Smith, and we host a monthly event at Bikes at the Bakery at 6 p.m. this Friday, actually. So if you guys want to get out, hang out with us. I think Vintage Pistols are going to be playing. It's a band. They're pretty awesome. Graduated with one of the musicians in that band. So you guys should come out Friday at 6 p.m. So there's my little plug.
That's a plug. Good plug. And we're talking bicycles.
Bicycles.
Right?
Like we're, yeah,
this
not
is
motorcycles.
Not, this is not Seal Horse Rally, you know, 2.0. This is bicycles.
Yes. And very family friendly. Very capable. All types of people. And they do offer some for more challenging rides, and there's like a 13-mile ride. But if you just want to get out with your family, it's definitely a family-friendly event.
I will not be making the 13-mile ride.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is it okay?
I won't either.
Okay, good. Well, then we'll both
but
not
you know
be
who
going.
Might be?
With Judah?
With kids in tow? Michael.
Michael Meings.
Oh, yeah.
You can always find him on a bicycle, except when he's taking your car places.
Yes.
Okay, anything else you want to say today to the congregation? Anything else you want to say to people who are listening? What do we need to know? What's the one thing we need to know when we come see you for the first time at your desk back in the office?
Yeah, I'm going to probably talk your ear off because I want to know who you are as a person. I really care about people, and I can tell you I care about you. Even I know you're listening. I care about you. So don't be shy, and let's have a conversation. Let's get to know one another. I'll be happy to help with any communication needs, but I also want to help with your own personal needs and to be there for you. And I really look forward to getting to know more of you guys as I journey on here at First Presbyterian.
Well, Tasha and I are super excited to have you, and it's been great so far. And so I encourage folks to come by and say hi to you, and also keep listening to the One Pres Pod, right?
Yeah, maybe I won't butcher a question about me and my family and getting to know me.
I'll just lead you right along.
Maybe you don't. I don't do podcasts, you know?
All right. On that note, everybody, this has been great, Sarah. Thank you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to the One Pres Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it. And go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.